Well, it happened, it came, and it went.
And we're still here to tell about it.
We survived it.
We did.
Did you do anything special?
You know, my brother and his... Oh, you know what? I did. I have a lovely story about New Year's Eve. I almost forgot. My brother and his girlfriend and their... my brother's girlfriend has a child and my brother has a child from separate relationships. So they... The four of them came to visit my family, my kids and I. And he proposed to his girlfriend on New Year's Eve.
Aww.
And it was so lovely. We went down to the Millennium Park ice skating rink. And, you know, they're California kids. So
sure,
they,
sure.
I wanted to give them, like, the Winter Wonderland Chicago experience. So after waiting an hour in line to get ice skates, of course, then they went ice skating and he proposed. And it was very lovely.
I can imagine.
It really was. She's just, I mean, I told him if he doesn't marry her, I will because.
She's 63?
Oh, please.
No.
She's just lovely.
Is she really?
Yeah, she is. She's just a very loving, kind, warm. You know, you just don't...
Do they still live out there?
They do. They're in Sonoma County.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So
a lot of rain.
Oh, yeah. Way. Boy, it's been headline news all over the country.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're right in the thick of it. They're right in the thick of it.
I heard a meteorologist this morning say that... they have made up for the five-year drought.
Yeah. Yeah, they're actually getting ready to declare that non-drought status, which I think is a little premature. I mean, I think it would still be wise for people to be cautious with their water usage. But,
right.
I mean, my mom was, she was literally like, she would turn her shower on in the morning and catch the cold water. You know, when you first turn the shower on, you have to wait for it to warm up.
Right.
She'd catch that cold water in a bucket and use that water to flush her toilet. Like, that is how... desperate the times were out there for
really?
The drought. Yes.
Wow.
Now, not everybody was doing that. My mom is a diehard and she's very conscious about all things environmentally friendly.
Right.
But yeah, those were the measures that were being taken.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. I mean, we just hear about it and it doesn't affect us. So we don't really, understand or comprehend it. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
It's just like when Boston had the heavy snow a couple of years back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
so.
If it doesn't affect us, we don't really pay
so
much
who cares?
Mind to it. Yeah.
We're used to it, right?
Right, exactly.
That's for sure.
Exactly. So it would be great if California were able to get out of their drought. I mean, that would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It would be.
I think the people out there would like it, too.
Absolutely.
So we got our usual first show.
Yes.
Of the season. We're a little late this year.
We are. We're a couple weeks behind.
But
better late than never.
Illinois Secretary of State, Jesse White. And he's going to be joining us.
Yes, he will.
He'll be telling us all about the new driver's licenses again.
Okay.
He'll also be telling us that they're going to be redoing the license plates. Well, I'm not going to tell
him. Yeah,
no,
I didn't tell
him. Do it, yeah.
Much more interesting to listen to.
That's for sure.
You betcha.
And our critic at large.
Brent Shishkoff.
Yes.
Yeah, he's reviewing he's around town at another theater this week.
Yep. You know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we were talking about it, because we're doing this show on Friday. He... mentioned that he's going to talk about the Goodman.
Oh, okay.
With the Christmas Carol.
Oh.
And that, yes, it's passed.
Right.
But it's something for you to consider next year.
Okay, fair enough.
Not only for the little ones, but for the family as well.
Yeah.
And then you're going to regale us.
I will. I've got some health tips for your old ticker. You let us turn up the beat.
That's right.
Yep.
And then, of course, guess who'll be here? The boys themselves.
Man, every episode for the last 8 years.
Honest to God.
There they are. They're still coming back.
Can you believe it's been 8 years?
No.
Unbelievable.
Can't we do this? Like, around this time every year, we start going, what?
Well, yeah, really.
How did that happen?
Oh.
I mean, I feel like we just were talking about it, and it's already been a year.
Well, and it started out originally. We'll talk more as we get close to the anniversary.
We will.
In the meantime, let's get started with Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And you are listening to The Beacon.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
It is our first program of 2017. You know, I can't believe that it's 2017 already, but it is. And our usual first guest to kick off the new year is Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White. Mr. White, Mr. Secretary, good morning. How are you?
Bill, I'm wonderful. Glad to see you and just glad to be on your show again.
Oh, listen, it's good that where everybody's in good health now and things are moving along pretty well. Are there many changes in the as far as the rules and the regulations out of your office are concerned?
There are going to be quite a few. Number one, you know, you have a new driver's license that's out. And, of course, anyone who lives in Illinois and want a driver's license or a state ID, they have to make sure that the information that they give us in terms of their address is a fact, which means that we will send out your driver's license in the mail. In the past, you used to be able to get it over the counter.
Right.
Now we take the information, send it to Springfield, and it goes to a facial recognition program.
Oh.
So now we'll know who you are. And
not a fingerprint or anything like that.
No fingerprint.
Just facial.
And so now we know who you are, and we will then send you out a driver's license that's straight from Homeland Security or meets all of the requirements that Homeland Security has required us to
sure.
have. So now we have one of the finest documents ever devised by man or woman. And it takes about anywhere from about 15 days to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But many times people are getting it within a week.
Do you get a let's say you pass everything, if you're taking the driver's test and you're going for a driver's license, do you get something to show that you have renewed and that you're just waiting for the, you're on a temporary license, in other words?
Yes, what we do is we give you a temporary license, and then later on, you will get the real document, as I said before, from about a week to about 15 days. The document will be sent to you in the mail. Yeah, Illinois has been unique for a long period of time where we used to give you your driver's license over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have become a little bit more sophisticated. We want to make sure that you are who you say you are and you live where you say you live.
Right. Okay.
Which means that if you change your name by way of marriage or just change your name, period, we have to know that. We have to have that information into our system. So if we want to communicate with you, we know how to do that.
How would you do it? Let's say somebody does get married. A woman gets married, or she decides that she wants to change her name years later. What does she do? Does she have to notify you then that, okay, my name has been changed too?
Well, first of all, she has to go to the clerk. The clerk has to authenticate it, and then they have to let us know that they've changed their name, they've changed their address, so that when we send out your driver's license, we'll know who you are. Let me share something else with you that I
have.
Sure. A step I missed. Let us say your birthday is tomorrow, and you'll come into the Secretary of State's office. We will take your old driver's license or your old state ID, we'll punch a hole in it, and we'll give you a temporary license.
Right, right.
And then when...
Go ahead.
Then within a week to 15 days, you'll get the new license. So now you can discard those other two, the temporary and your old license.
I gotcha. Okay.
And the other thing that we're doing, too, that we're proud of, and that is when I became the Secretary of State, I committed myself to replating 8.4 million sets of license plates within a one-year period of time, and we were successful in doing so.
But you're running out of room on a plate with all the numbers.
we still have a lot of numbers and a lot of plates.
Yeah.
And so what happened was some of those plates were made of steel and some were made of aluminum.
Right.
The aluminum plates are holding up. The ones that were made of steel are not holding up because the paint has a tendency
to
merge
yeah.
and to peel. So we are now asking everyone in the state of Illinois who has one of those bad license plates to notify us. We'll give them a new set of license plates free of charge.
Now, the driver still has the option of requesting a personalized plate, right?
Yes, a personalized plate. Or a vanity plate, personalized plate, the numbers and letters, and then vanity, all letters.
All letters, yeah.
And it's a little bit higher. I should also let you know that if by chance, when we begin our process this month of replating all of the plates that are about 20 years old, we will do that in order. But if by chance you want to get one, a set of plates early,
right.
You pay $26 and we'll send you out a new set of license plates. We have a new design and of good material, and we're proud of it.
Oh, good. All right. Because I know we've had the same plate designed for years now.
Well, since I've been the Secretary of State, that's almost 18 years old.
Wow. That's amazing. How about as far as other departments within your other areas within your department? Like the library, like how is state budget affecting your ability to keep testing centers open?
Well, we're fine up until now. I think that the General Assembly is about to pass a budget, a one-year budget.
And we hope.
It looks pretty promising, and when it happens, everything will go forward. We also had to suspend the notification of individuals whose sticker on their license plate was about to expire.
Mm-hmm.
Our license plates are made in a town called Decatur, Illinois, by disabled people. And then the stickers are made in a town called Freeburg, Illinois, by disabled people. And we just want to make sure that we are good stewards, that not only will we take on the job and the responsibility of providing those meaningful services to the people of the state of Illinois, but we do it in a timely manner and in a highly professional way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's happening now, and that is there was a bill passed in the Illinois General Assembly that will teach young people how to conduct themselves when they're stopped by a law enforcement officer. For example, you should not... when the lights come on in the back from the police car, you should not move around in the car, go under the seat, go in the glove box, or make any sudden moves because that's will cause the law officer to become suspicious. And then when he walks over to you and asks you for your driver's license, your insurance card, or your registration, you should be prepared to give that to him without any further discussion, without any altercation. I would just hope that all of the citizens of Illinois will understand that the law enforcement officers have a job to do. Let them do their job. And if there's something that you don't like, tell it to the judge.
Yeah, because then, you know, it'll get back to where it's supposed to be. When you were saying about the... there was a fallacy years ago. It said when you get stopped, get out of the car and walk back to the police officer. And that, I think, has changed because you trapped the officer in his car.
Well, you do more than that. Let us hypothetically say there are five people in the car.
Right.
And all five people have a gun and all five people leave the car at the same time. You have one officer who is outmanned and outgunned.
Yeah.
So when the officer comes over to the car, he will ask you, you should keep your hands on your steering wheel. And all the people in the car should keep their mouths shut because there's no need for them to have a discussion because the law enforcement officer is talking to the driver and the driver only.
Right.
And so there's no need for anyone else to interfere in the conversation. So that's one of the things that we're teaching our young people, our new drivers, to do, and that is no confrontation, no altercation with a police officer when you're stopped.
That was going to be my question. Is it going to be taught as part of the driver's ed class
exactly
in high school?
Exactly right. It's a part of driver's education.
That's that makes a lot of sense. How about as far as keeping the...
By the way, it's also going to be a part of the Rules of the Road book that I sent out every year.
So you better know that when you go in.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, you're revising all the tests.
Yes.
So all you cheats out there, forget it. There's going to be a new test. But how about as far as keeping the offices open? You have done more for the Secretary of State's office than I think anybody else who's held that position. They've always used it as a stepping stone to move up higher in state government or even go on to, you know, Congress or the Senate.
Well, Bill, when I was sworn into this office in 1999, I committed myself to running for re-election for this office and for this office only.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was going to modernize, streamline, computerize the office. I was going to bring the office into the 21st century. And I was going to make it possible for individuals who come to our facility seeking the various services to be treated in a highly professional manner and will no longer have to bring their duffel bag, sleeping bag, or the lunch pail. We want to get them in and out in a timely manner.
Sure.
If you are a senior citizen, pregnant, or disabled, we put you in the front of the line. So you don't have to stand in the back of the line. You go right to the front and take care of your business so you could be off doing what you need to do. And so we're proud of the services that we've provided to our
you have done just, I was so impressed. I was thinking about it coming in this morning, and I thought, what other office do you not hear anything about as far as corruption or anything else? I mean, I think you take your job seriously, and you take the trust of the people of the state seriously, too.
Yes, I served in the military not once, not twice, but three times.
Yeah.
I also served as a lawmaker for 16 years, and then the Cook County Recorder of Deeds for six, this office for 18.
Sure.
Played professional baseball in a club organization for 8 years, and served in the military for 10 years. And I've been the coach and founder of the Jesse White Tubman team for exactly 58 years, and yet I'm not 150 years of age. But I do believe, Bill, that when you come through this world and you become successful, you give back. But I also believe you should do something good for someone every day.
Sure.
When you take on a job, you should take on the responsibility that goes with it.
Right.
Be at your duty station every day, discharge your duties to the best of your ability. That's how I run my life.
That's probably the best way to do things, too. Do you foresee this being your last term?
I indicated that this would be my last tour of duty, but there's a movement afoot to draft me to kind of like force my hand. I was drafted. I played professional baseball in the Cobo organization.
Yeah.
I signed a contract out of college, and 4 days before going to spring training, I was drafted into the Army.
Yeah.
So instead of going to spring training, I ended up going to basic training at Fort Lindenwood, Missouri. And while I was there, I decided I wanted to learn how to jump an airplane, so they sent me to Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Nice.
So and after I completed my tour of duty, I came back to Chicago, put my ball band glove. I got my ball band glove and then put my uniform in the closet and flew off to Mesa, Arizona. So I was drafted into the military. So now the people of this wonderful state of ours is trying to draft me to stay on. So I'm going to look at it very closely, and I'll have a decision to make that a part of April.
Well, you know what I'm going to have to do? Join group of people that want to draft you, like I said, because I think it's one of the best run offices in the state of Illinois.
Well, thank you very much. But by the way, I should share this with you too. You know, the holiday season has passed us by,
right?
And we started out on Black Friday monitoring the malls, the shopping centers, to make sure the individuals who did not belong in a particular parking space should not be there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the spaces that have been set aside for those who are truly disabled.
Right.
And as it turned out, my Secretary of State Police checked 1,487 automobiles. And then they also found that there were 13 cars parked in those areas who did not have a placard or a plate. And then there were 9 automobiles where the cars were not driven by the person was not authorized to the person who was authorized to be in the car was not there.
Sure, sure.
And then there were fraudulent placards. And, of course, if you have a fake placard, or if you have a placard that, that belongs to someone who is disabled, who is deceased, that's a $2,500 fine.
Wow.
So I think we have four of those. And then there were some placards that were confiscated. There were about 13 that were confiscated. And then we issued about 39 tickets for those individuals who parked in an area where they should not have been parked.
Well, with the deceased ones, I think they should be taken away and the fine should even be higher.
Well,
because they're taking advantage.
Well, we do two things. Individuals who have a fake placard, or individuals who use a deceased person's placard, it's a $2,500 fine.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like I said, you've done a great job in the office for 18 years that you've been there. And I think you'll be the longest running state official if you run again, won't you?
Well, I'm the longest serving as we speak by a couple of years. Well, I think the longest serving prior to me was, I think, about 16 years. I think we're about 2 years beyond that.
Right, right. Of course, you can't do discount Mr. Madigan. How long has he been there?
Oh, almost 40 years. I served with him.
I think they built a building around him.
I served with him in the General Assembly. He's a fine gentleman, and he takes his job seriously, and he's been a good representative of the people of the state of Illinois.
That's cool. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming in. For the first visit of every year, we'd like to have you join us on the program. Let us know what's going on, what's new, and see what kind of progress is being made to kind of elbow you to get back into it again when the next election period comes around.
You'll be one of the first to know when I make my decision, Bill.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Mr. Secretary of State Jesse White joining us as he always does, the first program of our brand new year. And let's root him on. Send letters, send emails, whatever you can send to have him run again as our Secretary of State. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I'm dedicated to educating the public because it's important for all of us to understand this debilitating disease. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because every 70 seconds, someone in America is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's more than 1,000 people a day. Preliminary data show that exercise, a healthy diet, and keeping your mind active may help reduce your risk. At our website, ahaf.org, experts will answer your questions and address your concerns. Find out about promising research the Foundation funds and learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease. That's 1-800-437-2423.
Might you have noticed that we are not on the regular radio anymore?
Oh, yes.
We instead are on our website.
Yep.
The Chicago Lighthouse website.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get the program, you have to listen to it on our website. Or if you have a Victor stream, you can tune in on the Victor stream as well.
All right.
It's part of the talk choices.
Oh, good.
Victor stream.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a good thing for us.
We got a couple options then.
A couple of options.
That's good.
There's the telephone option always.
Right.
And so try either one. Whatever works for you is what I always say.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the best way to go.
Make it happen.
Would you like to do your turn up the beat stuff right now?
Sure.
Well, we're going to do that then.
I'm always ready to go.
We're going to turn up the beat, and the lovely Lainey Kleeman has some winter cooking tips.
I do. They're actually more just health tips, just things to keep in mind as we... How long have I been doing this?
I know.
The expression and the reaction never changes. But you know what? You like it. I know you follow some of these. I know Stacy makes you follow some, too.
Oh, that. But the police, food police.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jeez, I went upstairs looking for food the other night. I couldn't find a damn thing.
Oh. Did she just clean you out?
All I found was orange juice, but no cup.
Well, that's a problem. I think it's the utensils shouldn't go anywhere. Those aren't the problem.
No.
Okay, so just bear in mind, and we've talked about this before, but the first tip I'm going to offer is to
kale.
Drink enough water. I don't think I've ever offered kale up on this show ever because I personally don't like it. So I think that, no, this is actually about drinking water, and especially before meals, because there's a lot of benefits that water have. And if you're looking for weight loss, it can actually boost the amount of calories you burn, which is very interesting because it can boost metabolism up to 30%.
Really?
Over a 1 to 1.5 hour period. So
no
that
kidding.
Means, yeah, so that means if you drink about, I would say, 9 to 10 cups, like 8 ounce cups of water a day, so a couple of water bottles, if you drink that, you can burn an extra 96 calories per day, which over the course of a week is almost 700 calories.
Wow.
And that's significant in weight loss. It really is.
Yeah, it
so,
is.
If that's what you're looking for, you know, that's a really easy fix, and you barely need to do anything.
Do you know I've been doing that?
Have you? Good.
I've been doing that. I go through about 5 or 6 bottles of, those thermal bottles.
Yeah.
Of water.
That's great.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've gotten to where my muscle tone is not there.
Well, that doesn't have to do with water.
So I've got to go back to... I got to go back to working out, too.
Yeah. Well, okay. All of these factors are. There's not one
together.
Single thing that is going to be the miracle cure.
Right.
But water, and there's so many more benefits to it. You know, it keeps you alert. It's great for your skin. It's great for your hair. If you drink it about a half an hour before a meal, it actually makes you feel a little more full. So then you don't eat as much during a meal.
Right.
And so that, helps you prevent excess calories that your body doesn't need as well. So, there's actually a study that showed if you drink water before each meal, about a half hour before each meal, these study groups increased weight loss by 44%.
That's
just
impressive.
With water.
Yeah.
So something to keep in mind. Number two today, take care of your gut health with probiotics and fiber. And this is actually something that I've been working a lot on, but our gut health is really kind of the epicenter of our well-being.
Right.
And if our gut is not healthy, it's going to affect every aspect of our health.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know until it's too late, as you
right.
have found out.
Right.
Fiber is a big deal. You want to get fiber into your diet.
For instance.
Yeah. Broccoli is a great source of fiber. Any sort of greens are a great source of fiber. Any sort of grains, great sources of fiber. Legumes or beans are great sources of fiber as well. So you want to really, if you can't get the fiber into your diet through food, then there are supplements you can take. I actually take probiotics myself, and I can attest that they are super fantastic.
Really?
Yes. They keep me feeling light and empty, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I won't go into more detail about
Thank you very much.
But I will say, it does make me feel better. It makes me feel, if you feel all clogged up in your gut area, it doesn't feel healthy.
Right.
And if you let that stay long enough, then it creates serious health problems. So you want to take care of that, either through probiotic supplements or natural fiber in your diet.
Good.
Okay, friends. And then lastly for today, we're going to not fear coffee, which is very good news for me. This is a cute article. It says coffee has been unfairly demonized, but it in fact is very healthy. It's high in antioxidants, and studies show that coffee drinkers live longer and have a reduced risk of type 2 diabetes, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, and numerous other diseases. So, the antioxidants in coffee actually are good for something. So,
Well, how about decaf?
That I don't know. I would imagine it's probably similar benefits because it doesn't reference anything about the caffeine.
I was going to say, all it's really talking about is, what's good for you. It doesn't mention about caffeine.
Right. Everything in moderation, right? You don't want to drink 16 cups of coffee a day. But, if you drink a cup or two of coffee a day, it's actually been proven to have positive health results.
Good. Yeah. Excellent.
So there you go.
So you will have this posted for us?
I will put it on our Facebook page as well as our Twitter page at Chicago Beacon.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Great.
She's Lainey Kleeman. I'm Bill Jurek. And this has been Turn Up the Beat.
Let us turn up the beat.
You betcha. And in a minute, we'll get into a theater mode.
Okay. So just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
With all going on with the little ones in that, do you get much chance to go out, like, to the theater?
I don't. You know, I actually am going to see a play.
Hamilton.
I wish. Those tickets are just too rich for my blood right now, though. I'm going to go see Phantom of the Opera. It's not playing in Chicago anymore. It just left last week, but a friend of mine...
Was it up at the Metropolitan?
It's in Madison. So we're
going
to take, we're going to go up there. They're touring up there. It was the closest place to Chicago that they were going to be for who knows how long.
Right, right.
So I will make some time to go do that. But no, in general, it's all kids all the time with me.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, our big kid.
Yes.
Who is Mr. Brent Shishkoff.
Uh-huh.
Is going to fill us in on a special show that takes place around Christmas time. Let's listen.
Well, hello there, everybody. This is Brett Shishkoff once again. It has been a while since I've gotten behind the microphone for you guys here on the Beacon. But today I have a holiday wrap-up show for you guys. I was able to go and see It's a Wonderful Life at the Greenhouse Theater. And then also I went and saw A Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater. So I'll start with the Goodman and the Christmas Carol, since that's the one that most people know. They've been doing it for over 30 years now. It continues to be one of their most popular shows that they do at the Goodman Theater. And I'd have to say that Goodman is up there at the top of my list of my favorite theater to go to. Mainly because of how well prepared they are with the touch tours. Audio description is always very well done. They normally have a couple different audio describers. They don't just stick with one, which is nice because, you know, the variety and different people describe things differently. And so it gives you a different perspective, each person who comes in to describe these shows. And so I have to say, this version of A Christmas Carol, they do play around with it just a little bit. It's the same story that we're all used to, you know, about Ebenezer Scrooge and Bah Humbug and all of that. But they do play around pretty well with the minor nuances of it. So Scrooge's nephew in the actual book, the Charles Dickens book, is actually, they decide to make it a niece instead. And her character is trying to bring holiday cheer to Scrooge, and he has not, you know, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And so it's more, they decide to switch it this year around from nephew to niece. And so it was a nice little change. Nothing that was overly dramatic that you were like, wait, don't mess with Charles Dickens. It's already good as it is. It really felt like it fit really well in there with just having it as a niece instead of a nephew. The touch tour was well done, as usual, from the Goodman. They always start you off with, right when you get in the lobby, they have the costumes, you know, if they're wearing any wigs, a couple props. They start you off right in the lobby with that, which is nice because it gets it out of the way while people are waiting for others who are part of the touch tour to come in. It gives you something to do, and it doesn't take away from the time in the actual, when you're in the theater and they're talking about the layout of the stage, and then you being able to go on stage, and then also when they bring out the actors and actresses to be able to talk with them, and they kind of introduce themselves in character. So all in all, I really enjoyed this show. I recommend whoever has a chance to go next year, go and see it. Goodman does a very, very good job on their Christmas Carol. I plan on going for many years to come, and I ended up bringing one of my family members with me, and so I plan on bringing my entire family with me hopefully next year, which will be a lot of fun. So I'll move on. I went to the Greenhouse Theater and saw It's a Wonderful Life. This was a lot of fun. This is not an actual, like, play. They actually do a radio show. You're the live studio audience, and so they did have a touch tour. There isn't really any audio description for it because it's, you know, it's on the radio. So they have a narrator who will narrate specific parts of it for you. And then they have a sound guy who actually is doing the sound effects while right on the stage in front of you. You know, the car goes by and he goes, like, right, like if a car was going across the front of you. You know, if someone's slushing through some snow, they did sound effects for that, glass breaking, all of that. It's, you know, they have a sound person right in front of you doing all the sound effects live, which is really, really cool to see. Me as a sound designer, that's what I used to do for film and TV. I really enjoyed that part of it. It's fun because it starts off with them just singing Christmas carols to you. It's kind of like you're at a jazzy Christmas party to begin with, and then all of a sudden they announce over the intercom, It's a Wonderful Life. It's about to start in 15 minutes. Cast, get ready. The show ahead of you is almost finished. And so then they'll get back into singing some more Christmas carols. And then they will go over a couple jingles of their sponsors, which was written by the musician who plays the piano throughout the play for specific parts of the show. He actually wrote old-time doo-wop jingles from like the 50s, which were really, really well done. And like, for me, it's hard to say, like, the show is great, but the commercials, I don't like commercials, but these commercials were so much fun and funny and witty that they become almost like your favorite part of the show. Also, they have dedications that you can write in for the cast and people who you come with. So if you want to wish a happy, you know, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, great job to the cast. You guys do a marvelous job every year. They have that as an option for you to do as well, which was really, really cool, having that little personal touch of the people who are in the audience, live studio audience type feel, them doing dedications in their quote-unquote commercial breaks, as it would be in a radio show. This was just so much fun. The cast, they came out ahead of time and introduced themselves, a lot of them, because it was a radio show, were doing multiple voices. So having to meet a few of them ahead of time, being able to know who was doing which voices, because they were able to throw their voices pretty well. One of the ladies was, you know, played one of the youngest daughters, is like, you know, 5 years old, somewhere around there, maybe even younger. And she's able to put her voice as a very, very kid-like voice. And then you have some guys who have some really rough voices, like, you know, they throw them really well. And so a lot of them have done it for quite a few years. So, yeah, I can't say enough about the Greenhouse Theater's performance of It's a Wonderful Life at the American Blues Company. This was my first experience with American Blues, and I definitely plan on going back and checking out a few other things. It's something that for the holiday season, the combination of the two of these, A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life, you can't help but, after seeing either one of these shows, saying, okay, it's Christmas time, let's get to, you know, the holidays, being able to give each other gifts and, you know, being with your family, sharing the love that Christmas seems to bring out and the holiday season seems to bring out in everybody. So I have to say, this season for the holiday season for me, going to the theater was something that I haven't done in a while for the holiday season, so I'm glad that I was able to get back into that. And I plan on doing it again next year and seeing a few other things along the way. I highly recommend you guys just going out, checking it out over the holiday season. Don't be afraid when the weather's getting a little crummy. It seems like this is a way to warm yourself up. And they also do give you some milk and cookies after the show, which is always nice. And you get a nice little treat at It's a Wonderful Life. So I'm going to wrap this up for today. This is Brett Shishkoff on a holiday review of It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol. And I look forward to being with you guys again shortly, bringing you some more amazing reviews, hopefully. And everyone, stay warm and stay safe out there.
1 in 6 of the wounded U.S. soldiers evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan battle zones suffered eye injuries. That's the highest rate of eye injuries since the Civil War. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, part of the Library of Congress, is stepping up to help. NLS works with military hospitals, rehab centers, and groups such as the Blinded Veterans Association to make sure that service members who have sacrificed so much for their country can still experience the pleasures of reading. Through the free NLS Talking Book Program, eligible veterans have access to thousands of bestsellers, biographies, westerns, self-help books, and more, and a variety of magazines. Veterans receive priority service from NLS, but any U.S. resident who is blind, has low vision, or cannot hold a book because of a physical illness or disability may sign up for the program. To learn more about what NLS can do for you or a friend or loved one, visit www.loc.gov/NLS or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
So you may want to think about the Goodman next year.
Yeah, it's too bad we missed it this
older,
year. But
well, you know.
Yeah,
how old is Reese now?
She'll be 11 in March.
No.
Yeah, yes, she will. That sounds so much older than 10, doesn't it?
Wow.
I know. I've just started saying that she's going to be 11 soon because she's getting there. And to me, that just sounds so much older than saying she's 10.
Oh, my.
I feel like 10 is still a little girl, but 11 is like,
you're
on the cusp of teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
And my buddy TJ is going to be 5.
He'll be 5, yeah. Wow. Which, again, is another kind of milestone age, going from 4, which is still kind of toddler, you know,
to
little
five,
guy, to 5, which is school.
Which
like,
is,
now it's kindergarten.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
Man, they're just on the trajectory to...
Well, my little guy is 4,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to be going to kindergarten next year, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he and TJ are just about the same age.
Yeah, he's going to... right now, he's going to daycare,
yeah.
day school.
Okay.
You know, learning a few things and everything else.
Absolutely.
And then the little guy is the little guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's
still an infant, right?
Yeah, he's he'll be 2 in November
already?
This year.
Already?
Already.
I was thinking he was like 4 months old.
No. No.
I can't even.
Mr. Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, I can't even.
Loves
crazy.
Thomas the Tank
Engine. That's so cute.
So.
Thomas the Tank.
Yep, and speaking of Thomas...
Yeah, ooh, nice. I like that.
I've still got it.
You do, baby, you
when
do.
When you got it, you got it, you know? So we're going to head down the street to the house in the middle of the block and turn in where Brian Hawkins will greet us at the door for Tom's Corner. Hi, guys.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome in. It's another Tom's Corner. I'm Brian Hawkins, and of all the products that we've been talking about, Tom is here to give you a sort of a recap of what's available at the store so that you can make your purchases. And good evening, Tom. How are you?
Good, good. It's been really interesting, this has been a very interesting year for us. Yes, yesterday or the other day, we had a nice segment on ABC 7 television in Chicago, and they highlighted Jose Sanders is on our disability report, and he highlighted our store. I thought I'd talk a little bit about that and what was on the TV spot.
Okay.
You could go to ABC 7 Chicago's website, abc7chicago.com, and the story and the video is on there, too. So it's kind of neat to see that. They've been really great in giving us lots of spots on technology. They did a story recently on our beacons and traveling around the indoor navigational beacons for the blind and visually impaired. So it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they highlighted a lot of good low-cost items. I mean, they started with the talking clocks and talking watches and some of the features and zooming in and showing the large digital dial as well as on the clocks and the watches. They zoomed in on some cooking items. Like we had measuring cups with giant, you know, one quarter, one third, one half, with contrasting colors like white on a dark blue background.
Uh-huh.
Things that really stand out. Things that people maybe don't even think about sometimes of being able to use contrast in their home when they're cooking or they're doing. We have cutting boards that are white on one side and dark on the other, so that people who want to cut their celery, they can put it, a simple solution is put it on the dark side and the lighter celery stands out. Or if you're cutting some dark meat, use the white side. So those are simple things, but they really can help. Because those of us who have vision impairment, we know the frustration can be all the little things that add up, you know, throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
We highlighted a woman's wallet, which was I thought was really nice. Has three little sections for different change, and also blind and visually impaired people know how to fold their bills or keep it into four different compartments, and that was something that was highlighted. We had technology, some really nice high-quality keyboards that are like white letters on a black background,
mm-hmm.
that work for a PC, black letters on a white keyboard, super sturdy, super high-quality for a Mac or for a PC. So we highlighted that. Also, I think one of the most the things that are most, I would say, of the little more expensive category are the portable video magnifiers, which are so popular now in helping people read their mail and being able to take it with you to go to a restaurant or to see a price tag in the store. And these are devices that you charge overnight, like a cell phone,
mm-hmm.
and you bring it up, and the advantage, of course, is to be able to zoom in and to see the letters from 2 times all the way to 22 times the normal size, which you can't do, of course, with any magnifying glass. So those with moderate or even severe vision loss really enjoy those. So on our website, you want to go to lighthousetoolsforliving.com, and you'll see right on the front page, first of all, you'll see some special demonstration units of some of the portable video magnifiers. For instance, we've had several that are in the $99 to $199 range. These are devices that usually range from $399 to $499. If you have needed one of those, and instead of paying $500 or $400, you can probably get one for $100 or $200. So we really want to talk about that and highlight that, which is so helpful for people in all these situations in reading and also writing. You know, many people learn to hold that little device, which has a camera that shoots down on your paper or your checkbook, and to be able to practice writing, like putting your pen down,
mm-hmm.
and being able to see the line where you want to sign. So that if you're at a bank or you're at a restaurant and you want to sign the check, that's always a hard thing to do. to be able to use those devices to really be a lot more independent. And I think bringing up the quality of life for people is so important. Be able to, what we talked about last week is some of the devices that are available also through the optometrist or through the low vision section. We talked about a new one last time called C-Boost, which is a new video magnifier that actually is attached, or not attached, but actually custom made into a pair of glasses.
Right.
As a monocular telescope. There is so much new technology just within the last, I would say, 12 to 18 months that I can't even believe it, or I can't even keep up now. And so I think the word is hope, you know, for this season. There's hope for persons who have vision impairment. Almost 21 million people in our country have some degree of vision problems in both eyes that can't be corrected by normal glasses. And so that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to help those. I think for the future, I think the next 20 to 25 years, that number will actually kind of triple, because as our community ages, we're going to see more and more persons with vision loss and hearing loss. So I think the hopeful part is that there's so much new technology, so much more portable technology that people can take with them,
mm-hmm.
that they don't need a whole big old reading machine like they used to in the past.
Right. And so, folks, if they can go to the website, or they can make an appointment to come to the store, if they'd like a demonstration or just to look around and see what's available.
Yeah, lighthousetoolsforliving.com. Also, 1-800-919-3375. If you can't think of something, or you're kind of stuck, you've got going between different items in your mind or looking it over, when you call 1-800-919-3375, we have persons in the store who are visually impaired who understand, and they can give you their recommendations also, or research products that maybe you have had a hard time finding. So I think that's important. In our Glenview store, it's 847-510-6200. That's in Glenview, Illinois. They've got a great staff up there, mm-hmm. that can help you. So you can call or go online.
He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
As of July 2012, 9 major television networks are making some primetime and children's programs more accessible to persons with impaired eyesight. For about 4 hours a week, the networks will be providing video description, an audible narration of a program's key visual elements inserted in natural pauses of the dialogue. The description may be accessed by a television's secondary audio feature, which might be labeled SAP or Spanish, since the feature is sometimes used for a language translation. To learn about described programs shown in your area, contact your cable or satellite television provider or your local ABC, CBS, Fox, or NBC station. To learn about your equipment's secondary audio feature, contact the vendor or manufacturer. The Federal Communication Commission's information on video description is available at www.fcc.gov or by calling 1-888-225-5322.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about. But a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. There are two ways you can apply. The fastest and most convenient way is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Or you may call 1-800-772-1213 to make an appointment to apply at your local Social Security office or to set up an appointment for someone to take your application over the phone. Learn more about disability benefits and take advantage of the Helpful Disability Starter Kit at www.socialsecurity.gov/disability. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/disability.
Well, that does it.
That's it.
For this week's show. Can you believe, though, how nice the weather has gotten?
It's just fine to me.
I'm afraid.
I know. Well, you know,
definitely
we're getting there.
Afraid.
Once we get through February, it's pretty much smooth sailing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... It still takes a while for the temperatures to get to a nice place, but
right.
We're not really looking at any more snow or ice storms.
Those
I mean, knock on wood, but
December.
I know.
Wow.
They were pretty brutal.
That was just unbelievable.
The nice ones or the cold ones? We kind of had two, like, both ends of the spectrum. We were up in the 50s on some days,
yeah.
And then we were down in, like, the negative temps other days.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was rough.
With the wind chill and everything?
Well, I remember my brother came to visit last year, right around this time, actually. I think it was, like, January 19th last year. And it was that weekend where it was, like, negative wind chill, Arctic temper, like, so horrifying. So,
and he says, like, how do you live here?
You know what? No, they like it. They like it because it's a novelty. The snow, and it's a novelty. So they can come in for a couple of days, enjoy it for what it is, and then go back to their nice temperate climates.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, listen, next week it's going to be our buddy, Jim Chilson, going to be talking to us about utilities and all that the ICC has control over.
Great.
So we will see you back here next week. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And thanks for listening to The Beacon.